Hey everybody, this is Bob. Welcome to Static Show. As if one part wasn't enough, we have two. That's right. Get ready for part two of the John Hargrave Experience on Static.
When do you think that we'll finally be able to make love to computers?
Well, it's funny that you mention that, Miles, because we invented this this thing called the pleasure bot for computers too. Okay, and here is what we did. We got I got one of our old interns who attends MIT. This is real. I'm not making this story up. And he built us this self pleasuring device for gentlemen.
Okay.
And it's built out of a shop vac, right? And it has an opening on it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And the opening is actually
Harmony cereal.
The opening is actually it's made out of a soft, smooth latex. And it's got a variable speed adjustment, and it's got a little pump on the inside as well, okay? And it is all controlled. This is the really brilliant part, though. Anybody can do that. And, in fact, I have. But it is controlled by a laptop. You can actually put a laptop on the top, and there's actually a user interface that will let you control the various components of it.
No way.
Whenever you put the laptop on top, does that the screen then become like the head of the receiver?
No, but that is a great idea, and that will definitely appear in the next version of the product.
There you go. You can have it. So then you can put whatever picture you want up there, and so you can concentrate on the face.
Bob said.
If you know, the eyes and the face are the sexiest part.
That's right. Oh, Mother Teresa. So,
Mother Teresa?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I thought you said you were going to quit it on the low-end humor. Jeez.
So anyway, the concept behind this thing was we were going to take this on the Howard Stern show. This was going to be the big publicity thing, right? So we built this thing. We actually got a working prototype of it. And we were going to take it on the Howard Stern show. We were going to go totally nuts. And it was going to malfunction in the middle of while we were trying to demonstrate it. And it would actually sever someone's arm. There would be blood spreading out.
How big is this hole that you put things in if it can sever a man's arm?
Exactly. That was the whole concept.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was this, you know. That's the kind of product that you don't want to be able to sever a man's arm.
I was thinking a couple fingers, possibly, but a whole arm, really.
A whole arm.
Does it come with its own self-squeezing KY? KY jelly, of course, we're talking about.
Right.
What if you have a latex allergy? Because I know, people have latex allergies. No one I know, of course. But, what would happen with that?
I think you can get shots for that, Bob.
Can you really?
Yeah.
The East Coast is amazing!
Yeah.
Bob's allergic to pussy.
I did not know he had a feline allergy.
Yeah, he does.
Actually, I do.
He does. He just found out.
I do. I just found out. They stuck me in the back with this stuff, and my arm swelled up the back, like a little bump. It was weird.
Right, yes. I am also allergic to cats.
Oh, yeah, that's
cat.
Cats. I'm allergic. Oh, it's terrible.
So, Miles, to answer your question, I look forward to the day, and I don't think it will be very long.
Oh, good.
But anyway, I got to finish my story. So I take this to Gary Delabate, the guy who produces the Howard Stern Show.
Did you really meet him?
Yeah.
Did you meet him?
Yeah, and he was at this appearance here, and I took this thing and I pitched the idea to him, and he goes, "Is this for real?" And I said, "Well, we actually built a prototype. We're not really planning on producing it, but it's a comedy bit." And he goes, "You should produce that thing." And then I thought to myself, I should produce that.
So did you do it? Is there a website called pleasurebot.com or something?
I'm afraid I haven't produced that thing.
Oh, well, there you go.
There are some things to even which...
Is your wife behind this? Is she not allowing you to do this?
My wife would not be behind this, no.
My wife would be in front of it.
Not allowing you to produce
it. My wife would certainly not be in front of it.
It's not allowing, you know, I think that actually it probably would be something that a lot of wives would probably want produced, and they would purchase it and put it in the kitchen or something, and then that way their husband, just get out of here and go to the kitchen, take care of this, and then come back and be civil.
It's true.
You know? Could bother me all night. I'm trying to sleep, for Christ's sake. Oh, my goodness. So, do you have another question there, Miles? Because I really want you to pipe in. Miles has a problem whenever we have people on the show.
That
he doesn't like to talk to them. So.
On the show, BJ and the Bear, who do you think had the more acting talent, BJ or the Bear?
Greg Evigan, or I think his real name was Bear. Oh, his real name was Moose. The Bear's real name was Moose. I remember that for some reason.
That's kind of frightening that you would actually know that.
I'm impressed that you knew the name of Greg Evigan. I only knew that because we did a Computer Sue episode on Greg Evigan.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Who has also, by the way, gone on to lead a very post-BJ and the Bear interesting career.
Yeah, with the Landers twins or something, right?
Yes. Who has the more acting? I would say that Wiley Sheriff Lobo actually has more.
He got a spinoff show.
He did.
Sheriff
Lobo. Proving his acting talent.
Wow.
And lovable charm.
I think he's dead now, you know.
Thanks for bringing it down,
man. Claude Akins, dead. Really, the sad thing is after Sheriff Lobo tanked, he was doing Amco commercials. I remember when I was younger. You remember Amco Transmission? I don't know if you had that out there, but it's AA, MCO, Amco. You remember that?
You kind of remember that.
Yeah, he did the commercials for Amco, so that was pretty sad, really, in his career.
Yeah.
Claude Akins.
I heard he also did the voice of the Aflac duck.
Did he? No.
That's true.
I don't think so.
Aflac.
So,
funny commercial, I
think. You got a cold or something? Hey, go take care of yourself with the pleasure bot out in the kitchen, because I'm trying to sleep here, Mr. Quacker. So what? Let me. We're running late on time here. I guess we probably should just stretch this out to two shows. I'm just going to say we're going to be doing two shows with John Hargrave now because we're already into past our normal time here. And if John Hargrave,
although
stay on
personally,
the line,
I think you should just cut out the funny bits and make it.
No. But see, this is the charm and the easiness of this site is the fact that we don't cut anything out. It's just one take right on through.
That's right.
And so that way it makes it easy for us because we really do have other lives that we lead other than this. So unfortunately, we haven't been as fortunate as the great Mr. Hargrave here to have a paying gig doing these kind of things. And so
editing does take a lot of time.
It does. And then you think, you know, then you second guess yourself and then you don't put something in. And we're like, you know, screw the whole thing. It all goes up there. You know, just have to bear with us if it's not that funny. So what?
That's right. But I have to compliment you guys, if I may. I think you guys do a very funny show. I won't pretend to be an expert on your show, but what I've heard, I think you guys have a great rapport. And I think you're funnier than anything you hear on the radio.
Well,
you're definitely funnier than the DJs I hear around here.
Well, that's funny you should mention that, because I think that's the way the whole show started, was the fact that Miles and I actually did a college radio show that wasn't like this, but we had actually to play music and things, and we did a little banter in between, and we couldn't say that, you know, fuck and all these other things that we say now,
right?
But we did a little banter in between, so we just took that and stretched it out, since we really don't have really an interest. I guess I don't have an interest in the music. Miles does have an interest in the music, but I don't, and so I'm like, well, let's just cut out all that and just do whatever, you know. So what's next for John Hargrave, now that you've, you know, spun us off into that a little bit? But what's next for John Hargrave?
I'm considering becoming a shepherd.
Seriously? Are you going to be the guy in the AT&T commercial that takes those sheep into all those silly places? Because, I mean, you sound really connected, so I can believe that you could knock that little, you know, immigrant-looking guy right out of his spot.
I bet I could.
Stick you in there with the old, German, what do you call that hat, that kooky lederhosen hat thing? I don't know what the hell it is. But with a little feather in it.
Completely. Yeah.
You could go in there. You know, you got your AT&T wireless, right? And you're herding your sheep through the checkout line with a guy scratching his nuts. And
people would look at me and go, "He's a young up and coming shepherd."
Yeah. I mean, they got to replace him. Remember Juan Valdez? He's just a freaking logo now, you know? That's all he is. He's just a little logo. It was like a real living guy. Juan Valdez says, picks his own beans and brews his own coffee. Now where is he? He's just a little pink. Here he is. Logo.
Yeah.
Say, I know how we can quit paying this guy royalties. We'll make him a freaking logo. So really, I mean, you're going to be a shepherd? I was reading Zug. I was reading your daily journal, and it says you're trying to take the GMAT or the GR. What are you taking? The GMAT?
I took the GMAT last week. I'm going to go to business school. I think I'm applying to business school right now because I think that is that's the next logical career choice for a comedy writer.
Have you tried to get on other shows or do writing for other people or what?
Well. You know, when the show ended, everybody was like, "Oh, you should go host Talk Soup out in California. You would be great. You'd be great for Talk Soup."
No, they got some black chick doing that now.
Aisha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did we watch that?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's not quite as easy as just going up and saying, "Hello, I'm here as your new host of Talk Soup."
I think there might be a spot for you with Hal Sparks. On actually what's airing right now here on Showtime, which would be, what is that show, that gay show that's on Showtime now? Queer as Folk. You could go with Hal Sparks on Queer as Folk.
I can just barely hear you. It sounds like you're saying Queer Spode. The name of the show isn't Queer Spode. You're not saying I should go join a show called Queer Spode, are you?
No, that's something else that I rented over the weekend.
Fantasy.
No, Queer as Folk, Hal Sparks, Queer as Folk. I know we probably have different accents, so it's hard to understand what we're saying, but it's all like a whole other planet over there, you know.
Yeah. It's like you're talking freaking Swahili.
So Queer as Folk. Sparks is on there now, right?
I may go to business school. I don't know. We'll see. You know, I actually went to Berklee College of Music for my undergrad degree.
Yeah.
And
really paid off, yeah.
Right. Yeah. A wildly expensive musical education.
Is that Busby Berklee's College of Music?
Career in comedy.
Say that again, Miles?
I play the bass.
The what?
The babes.
I think he said I play the babes because he wants to get away from the whole Queer as Folk thing.
Yeah, Bob plays the skin flute.
I'm straight! I tell you, straight as an arrow!
Bob's into the skin flute, I think.
Yeah. Into the skin flute. He loves to throw that in anytime he can. He's got two jokes about that he always likes to tell me. I'll tell you both of them before he gets a chance to tell the other one. The skin flute thing and the I heard your jockstrap was a peanut shell in a rubber band. He loves that. You hear him? Do you hear him cackling? He loves it.
I thought you were going to say a second joke was, "A scrotum says what?" A scrotum says what?
His scrotum says hello to the shag carpeted in an old hotel. Evidently from the last show where he was in the hot tub too long and his... Evidently, he's got no elasticity left in his skin, and his scrote just hit the floor.
What I think is frightening is people would write in concerned that happened.
That's true.
Hey, guys, if you were ever thinking of doing, like, any merchandising for Static Radio, maybe Miles' scrotum would be the first, like, little plush toy.
It could be a coin purse.
that might be.
We could take a mold of it, Miles, after you get out of the hot tub, so, you know, it's... Hey. Maybe we could sell Miles Title's scrotum yard long beers, something like that. A yard glass shaped like your scrotum.
I think that Miles' scrotum could be turned into one of those little those exercise squeeze balls that people use.
It already is.
You should see his muscles in his hands. The guy's got Jesus. Only
I
one.
Can't help it. My doctor said I was coming down with carpal tunnel.
Only his right hand, though, and I don't understand what that is.
The left hand is pale and
it's like It's like
he can barely move it. It's like a wet fish.
Yeah, it's starting to decay, I think. He looks kind of like a Swamp Thing after he gets his arm chopped off. He starts growing this little twig or something. But anyway, so you don't know what's next. Let's get back on the track here. You don't know what's next. Business school, maybe. I mean, if you're married, I mean, certainly your wife is hounding the hell out of you to do something.
Actually, my wife is not the breadwinner in the family. That's what's funny. It's like, at least I have a source of income coming in. I think that's nice.
Well, you laugh, but Miles and I, our wives have always been the breadwinners in our family, so I don't know why. So, I mean, so now you're joining the crowd now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I think Miles, that made him very nervous when I said that. It made him extremely nervous. I think he's going to hang up on us.
Yeah. Miles, don't go.
So you're thinking about going to grad school, to business school, for some unknown reason. I mean, you're in you're 30, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, I have I already have one worthless education. So just think of how valuable I would be if I had two worthless educations. I'd be rich. No, seriously. Here's some very exciting news for you guys, and this is an exclusive.
Are you going to break it?
Huh?
Wow, exclusive. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, this has not been made public yet. In fact, I'd like the name of the show to be John Hargrave Breaks His Silence. Would you call it that? Breaks His Silence.
Okay.
That's a very kind of Barbara Walters sort of.
We were going to say John Hargrave Breaks Wind, but that would be more our style.
Thank you.
Okay.
And then we're going to overlay lots of sounds of farts on top of you whenever you talk.
We're going to do a fart drum roll or something, you know. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, this is exciting. Zug, my personal comedy site, www.zug.com, was just nominated Best of Web at the 2001 HBO Aspen Comedy Festival.
Wow!
So that's exciting, and we'll probably be going to Aspen and doing that and competing there.
So now, in this competition, do you have to do something? Are they just going to look at your website or what?
I think that the way it works is people are going to vote on it.
Do you have to do something on your website for them to see on the website while they're there?
It's all kind of unclear to me at this point, but I know that funny is somehow involved. You're expected to be funny in some capacity.
I don't know. I've watched that thing on HBO before. It's not all funny, really.
It's not really all funny.
Not all funny.
Neither am I, believe me.
I think Michael Richards was hosting one the year that I'm recalling here, and it wasn't all that funny. You know, I'm just trying to give you some, make you feel more comfortable.
Yeah, thank you.
Don't think
you.
That you always have to be on. Just because you're going to go to Aspen and be on HBO and all this stuff, you don't have to be on. It's Carrot Top and shit like that. So.
That's right.
Are you going to take your dead cat?
And Gallagher. No, the dead cat, we had bought a dead cat for use at Computer Stew. We used it in a couple episodes. And a lot of people got really offended at this dead cat idea. But I thought it was a very funny concept. You know the phrase, you can't swing a dead cat without hitting blank. Well, the concept was, when our show got canceled and all these people were being laid off from dot-com ventures, we said, hey, we're going to, it's the economy is so bad that you can't swing a dead cat without hitting a laid-off dot-com employee. So to prove that point, we took a dead cat into Boston's financial district where all these high-powered executives are walking to important business meetings, and we swung this dead cat around. The dead cat we got from a scientific supply house, it's to be used, for dissecting cats in high school biology class. And they're relatively cheap. If anybody is looking for a dead cat, I think it was maybe 50 or 60 bucks, which I think is
cheaper.
Pretty reasonable. And you say, oh, I could go get a dead cat from my neighbor's yard.
Right, yeah, well, in my house here I have several cats.
I feel like I'm talking to Dahmer here or something.
Yeah, he started with small animals, didn't he?
Yeah.
That's true.
Well, he didn't actually kill the cat. He just bought a dead cat.
I just bought the cat.
So that would make him less like Dahmer and more like, Jerry Falwell or somebody like that, who goes out and buys a thing.
Jerry Falwell, known for his love of dead cats, yes. So we did this bit, and I had the dead cat, this is true, I had the dead cat in my office at ZDNet for about 5 or 6 months.
Oh,
and I had it sitting in there. It was preserved in formaldehyde, so it didn't give off an unusual odor except for the odor of formaldehyde. And there I sat with this dead cat in my office in a box. It wasn't like hanging on the wall. It was in a box.
It looked kind of like jerky.
Quite.
When I saw it on the show. It looked like cat-shaped jerky.
It was a lot like jerky.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
So, but when we finished our final bit with featuring the dead cat, we did actually throw it away. Buried it. I'm sorry, we buried it.
Yeah,
not
buried
it
in the trash in the dumpster out back.
Yeah.
Now I think you pretty much just put the kibosh on your business degree by going to the financial district of where you live and swinging a dead cat around at people, but, you know.
It's so funny, yeah. If the stories I could tell you about burning bridges before I've ever gotten there.
Yeah, by doing this show alone, I think you've probably buried a few bridges.
Right.
The Aspen people are going to revoke your tickets right as you're getting on the plane, or some of the HBO people. Oh, ticket to Aspen, you'll get there.
Joke.
We heard that interview you did on that like little known thing, and I don't know how we heard it, but I think we're going to revoke this, and you're not going to go there because you're just going to stink the place up or something. But no, that's great. Congratulations. I was wondering what you're going to be doing. Now, how do you get nominated for something like that?
I have no idea.
Seriously?
I honestly don't know. I don't know who nominated us or who saw the site, but it's great. It's nice. It's nice to be recognized. You guys know what it's like. You work hard on your site.
Not really. That's why we don't do the editing.
Yeah.
Miles is barely computer literate, so I mean,
That's true.
So I mean, he really doesn't care. It's just
is that true, Miles? You're not into computers that much.
Other than porn, I mean, I don't know what else he does with the thing.
I got a lot of cookies on my computer.
His wife was reading me off the cookies on their machine one night when she was asking me for help to fix something, and I'm like, Sex Hound?
Well,
why do you got the Sex Hound cookie?
And you don't mean actual baked goods.
No.
Okay, because you did say Miles was overweight. I didn't know.
Yeah.
God, that's a different.
Okay.
See, I'm really into like Girls Gone Wild and stuff, you know.
Yeah, Miles is very much into that.
Girls Gone Wild, yeah.
Yeah. I was on a business trip and I watched Spanktravision, you know, stuff like that.
So he's all excited.
Hey, you want to know what I found out? This is kind of a helpful technology tip that you probably won't read in the E-Week. When you go into a hotel and they have the pay-per-view adult movies,
right?
You can watch the first 3 minutes of them for free without getting charged to your hotel bill.
You know, that's all I really need.
A lot of times, Miles, that's enough to get the job done.
I think so.
I don't know why you're bothering with the pleasure bot. I mean, all he needs is like all he needs is a screensaver of some good-looking chick on his computer. That's about all he needs. Let me tell you, there won't be any floppy disks going into that drive for a while, if you know what I mean.
The SCSI port on the other hand.
But, Miles, do you have one last question for Mr. Hargrave so we can let him get on with his Sunday evening?
I think I've almost exhausted all my questions.
Oh, sure. As soon as he calls you portly, I don't want to talk to the bastard anymore.
That's kind of a sensitive subject. Yeah, I can't.
I was just repeating back what Bob told me. I would have never guessed.
See, you know what the funny thing is last week, people are taking what I say on this show and attributing it to Miles if they know Miles. So, for instance, I said something about your niece and her new husband. At that point, wasn't her husband,
right?
And he pissed in the sink at your parents' house, right?
Right.
And we were talking about that, and I said, well, it's better that than pissing in her mouth.
Right.
And then they attributed that statement to Miles
right.
and got all mad at him for, saying that he's talking about his niece and her future husband doing some kind of golden shower thing in his parents' basement and got all mad at him.
Right. They think I've said all this. Right?
But I said it.
Yeah.
But I said it. So
Thanks.
I guess our voices must be similar or something. I don't know. But I guess to wrap it up, is there anything else, any other revelations, any other comments, anything else that you would like to say here on the show, Mr. Hargrave, before you go?
Yeah, oh, no, actually I would. I have one more thing, which is to say that I am now the world's best player of Quake 3 ever.
Oh, okay.
Because I have had plenty of time to sit around and practice. And I am really, really good at Quake 3.
Now, Miles and I aren't into the game scene.
No.
Per se.
No.
But now, are you playing Quake 3 on your computer? Or are you playing it on, like, a PlayStation?
I'm playing on my computer here. Oh, I'm going to play a little bit of it for you right now, and I'm going to let you listen to how good I am. Hang on.
Right.
Here we go.
All right, here we go.
Baby. Yeah, I can't talk to you because I got the receiver near the speaker. Okay,
go so, right ahead.
Go, second. Dog, go.
I was going to make a crack about the Rumble Pack and say maybe John's sitting on the Rumble Pack the whole time he's playing Quake. That's why he thinks he's the greatest player at Quake.
I hear a zipper in the back.
Oh, yeah, that's what it sounded like.
Oh, I think he's got that laptop extension going.
The pleasure bot.
Is he playing Pong or
that's
what?
That's what it sounds like.
It would have been nice if I actually had the game ready to go. It would have been a lot funnier that way.
Playing Pong or what?
Quake 3 is a lot more simple than a lot of people realize. It's actually just two paddles and a ball.
Oh, okay. We thought it was Pong. We said Pong. You know, I like that hockey game where you got extra paddles.
Ow.
Wow.
So,
wow. What was all the ow for? What was all that?
I got killed.
Oh, that's too bad.
There was some 8-year-old in Des Moines.
The only city in Iowa that matters.
Yeah.
Des Moines.